Welcome to Hey YA Extra Credit. Every other week, opposite the main Hey YA podcast, we'll bring you a short-form podcast of YA talk across a wide range of topics. I'm Tirza Price, and today I thought I'd talk about some YA books that have a really great grumpy sunshine pairing, and they are romantic as well. So I like tropes in romance novels, or I should say I like it when I find tropes that make me laugh and that are done really well. And I think the grumpy sunshine one is just so much fun. I really like a good grumpy character, especially when, you know, they're not grumpy because they're mean, but because they've got other stuff going on or they've got hidden depths. And just the contrast of a really sunshiny personality. I especially like it when the dynamic is not always, you know, the male character that's grumpy and the female character that's like the sunshine, because I think that's what you tend to see a lot. But when that is not always the gender dynamic, it can be kind of fun to flip that. So I'm going to tell you about two YA books that do this well. But first, we're going to hear from our first sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Charming, easygoing, and rich, Xavier Castillo has the world at his fingertips. He also has no interest in taking over his family's empire, but that hasn't stopped women from throwing themselves at him, unless, of course, the woman in question is his publicist. The cool, the intelligent, the ambitious Sloan Kensington, who is a high-powered publicist who's used to dealing with difficult clients, but none infuriate or tempt her more than a certain billionaire heir with his stupid dimples and laid-back attitude. She may be forced to work with him, but she'll never fall for him because he's a client and that's all he'll ever be. Right? Right, girl. Like, we all know. So, just in case you didn't know, author Anna Wong is the best-selling author and book talk viral author of the Twisted Love series, the King of Sin series. Miss Wong, gotta go on, okay? Make sure to check out King of Sloth by Anna Wong, and thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang. So this is an interesting love story. It's great for fans of Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow and High Fidelity. It's set in the mid-90s at NYU. And it follows young Wang, who has gotten the advice of love through Chinese numerology from his uncle. So he believes that he will have seven great loves in his life. And then he meets Irena in 95. And she's like the best. She's brilliant, charismatic, quick-witted, funny. They fall in love. But the thing is, she's number six. So if he is to have seven great loves, does that mean his time with Irena is going to come to an end? So this is a love letter to Western pop culture, Eastern traditions, and being a first-generation New Yorker. Make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang, for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, my first book is Charming as a Verb by Ben Phillip, and it is so funny. Like, there are very few YA books that make me laugh out loud, like, multiple times to the point where I'm like, ooh, I should not be reading this in public. And all three of Ben Phillip's books, he has two YA and one, I think it's technically for adult audiences, but teen audiences could enjoy it as well. Collection of essays that are autobiographical memoir type things. So The Charming as a Verb is one of his YA novels, and it is about Henry, who is a high achieving senior. He lives in New York City. He goes to like a really swanky high school, and he wants to attend Columbia University. However, he's also a first-generation American. His parents are Haitian. They have a lot of really big expectations for him, and expectations that he does kind of mirror as well, because he really wants to do well, and he wants to succeed, and he wants to do them proud, make them proud. So he knows, however, though, just the world is stacked against him as a young Black male. So he decides that he's got to do whatever he can do to make sure that he gets to achieving his dreams. And so one of those things is that he knows he needs money, especially if he's going to go to an expensive college like Columbia. And he's looking around, living in New York City, and he lives in a kind of affluent neighborhood, not because his family is affluent, but because his dad is the super of an apartment building, and they get to live reduced rent or rent free in the building as well. And he is like, okay, wow, a lot of people spend a lot of money on dog walkers, and they use these services that are, of course, making money, and then paying the dog workers not as much. So he comes up with this hustle where he comes up with the company himself, and then he poses as a dog walker. And then, he is the dog walker, but he's pretending that oh, I just work for this company. And so he's kind of double dipping on clients because he's getting paid what they're paying the platform, but he's also getting paid to actually walk the dogs, and he's getting tips on top of that. So I guess it's kind of triple dipping. Either way, he's pocketing all that money, and he's like, oh, this is so smart because he's doing the work, but he's getting paid even more for it. Until he meets a classmate of his named Corinne Troy. And Corinne just happens to live in his building. And Corinne has a dog, and her mom hires Henry's service to walk said dog. And it takes Corinne about 3 seconds to see through this very clever hustle that Henry has dreamed up. And she is very, she's described as intense in the book, and she is not somebody that can just sit back, have a good time. And she doesn't have a lot of friends. She's also similarly very, very driven and very ambitious. And she's Black as well, but she also comes from a more affluent family with more connections. And so she looks at Henry, looks at this hustle, and says, okay, I won't expose you if you help me learn how to make friends and be social. And she's really concerned because she's trying to get college recommendation letters, and all of her teachers are like, you're too intense, you need to socialize more. And so she's like, okay, help me do this. And he agrees because he also doesn't want his dog walking sham to be exposed, but also because he's a little bit intrigued by Corinne. And then he learns that her mom is a admin at Columbia University, and then he's even more intrigued. So I love this book because Henry's hilarious. He's got this very easygoing sort of demeanor, which sort of belies the fact that he's very intense about, wanting to achieve his dreams, and he feels a lot of angst about it. And then you've got Corinne, who's also, similarly intense, but way more, open about that intensity. She has no chill whatsoever. And the two of them just banter back and forth all the time. And she's a total grump, and he's just kind of this easygoing, sunshiny personality. And I really, really, really love their banter. This is also a very, very, very slow burn romance, so just know that going in. But it's really funny. And then it also is surprisingly, not surprisingly, but I think the funny sort of exterior, it kind of fools you into thinking this is just going to be this light rom-com. But the book actually deals with some pretty intense issues and some pretty intense twists and feelings. And I just thought it was done so, so well. The way the author uses that humor to really get at the heart of what's going on in this book was amazing. And of course, that good old grumpy sunshine dynamic. So that is Charming as a Verb by Ben Phillips. My second book is Hani and Ishu's Guide to Fake Dating by Deepa Jagadeer. And I love this book. It was one of my favorite books of 2021. And it is fake dating, grumpy sunshine, all the good stuff. And this book is about Hani, and she is one of the popular girls in school. And this book is set in Ireland. And she is very much that easygoing. A lot of things just kind of happen really easily for her. And she has these great friends that she, thinks that she trusts and thinks are awesome. But when she comes out as bi to them, they kind of dismiss her. And they say you've never dated a girl before, so how do you know her? You're not really bi because you've never dated a girl. And she is really upset by this in the moment, understandably so, because that is bi erasure and it's not cool. So she panics and she says, oh, she absolutely has a girlfriend. And she names one of the only other brown girls in her class. And her name is Ishu. And Ishu is not popular at all. She is very intense about her academics, very intense about, pursuing her goals, getting into a good university. And she comes to find out she's got a lot of pressure at home and a lot of her own sort of pressure that she's putting on herself to please her parents. So they are not friends. Their families know each other, but their families are actually very different, even though they share similar cultures. But her, Hani's friends just kind of assume like, oh yeah, you're both brown, so it makes sense that you must be dating. So now Hani has a problem, and that is, she's not actually dating Ishu. She doesn't really know Ishu that well. So she approaches Ishu and is like, hey, I kind of said this thing, sorry. And at first Ishu's like, why the heck would you say that? We don't even know each other. But then she senses an opportunity. And Ishu really wants to become head girl, but head girl is not just about academics. It's also kind of a popularity contest. And she thinks, well, I got the academics in the bag, but maybe if I can work on the social aspect and Hani can help me with that, then I can become head girl. So she agrees to fake date Hani in exchange for that sort of social life elevation there. And of course, as they are dating, they catch real feelings. But I really liked the fact that, Ishu is kind of more of a grump, and she's not a grump just because she is angry about everything. She's got a lot of pressure at home. She doesn't have a lot of time to just kind of kick back and make fun and have fun and relax. And so Hani also really shows her how to do that. And Hani is this kind of like bright ray of sunshine. And Ishu's kind of like this grumpy, why are you so happy all the time? What's going on? But I love their dynamic together. And I love how Hani and Ishu connect and how Ishu really opens up with her. It's just a really lovely queer romance. And it also, plumbs pretty deeply into their family issues, their issues and their feelings about religion, about family expectations, and also what it means to be, queer openly and not so openly in their Bengali communities. So I really, really like this book a lot. That is Hani and Ishu's Guide to Fake Dating by Adiba Jagudir. And that is it for me. Thank you so much to the sponsor for making today's show possible. You can follow me on Instagram and Threads. I'm at Tears of Price. And thank you also so much to Caitlin Brame, our awesome audio editor, for making us sound great. Erica and I will be back again next week. We will be talking about our favorite books of 2023 because we are near the end of the year and I've got a lot of books that I'm excited to talk about. So definitely tune in then. But until then, happy reading.